subdivision right over here, and there were people doing them and basically right outside the back of my house. So it was like every time it went off, it shook the house. But anyway, but it's great that now in times of, you know, of uncertainty right now, that people are still finding ways to celebrate and to have a good time. So anyway, glad to thankful for everyone that is here this morning, and that no one seems to lost their life to a firework. So anyway, great also to see the camps back with us today, as Rick is back, and we were glad to see him this morning. And so yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to see him, make sure you do so. And also thankful for our visitors as well, and those who are on our live stream this morning. I'm going to be continuing a series that I started a couple weeks ago called Fear Not, I Am, coming from the I Am statements of Jesus that were made in the book of John, that were written out in the book of John. This morning, if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 7 through 9, and it's going to go along with our lesson this morning. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." The last time we met, we discussed that Jesus is the bread of life, and that he is also the light of the world. And of course, these are metaphors that he's using for himself to show in a way of how he is and who he is to us. He's the bread of life because he fulfills our physical, our spiritual, and heavenly needs. And he's the light of the world. He provides light in the darkest of times. This morning we're going to talk about how he is the door, how he is the door for our lives. And so a door is just one of the many metaphors that Jesus used to describe himself. And we all know what a door is. A door is just, whether it's made of wood, metal, or has a pane of glass in it, a door provides passageway into something. You know, sometimes people, you might see in a movie or something like that where people are afraid to open the door because they don't know what's on the other side. They don't know what's going to be waiting for them. That's also the same with, job opportunities. You don't know if you get let go or fired. You don't know what's going to be next, and you just don't know. You're uncertain about which door that God is going to lead you into next. But people live in fear of not knowing which way to go. But the thing is that we Christians know of a door that they can enter through, which we know is what is on the other side of it. And that we can say with confidence that if you enter through the door, if you enter through Jesus, if you enter into Jesus, things on the other side are much, much better. So on the other side of that door, we know that Jesus is there, but what does that door lead to with being in Jesus? And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is what is entering through Jesus? What does that lead us to? The first thing that Jesus is the door to the love of God. Jesus is the door to the love of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love." There's probably been times where, maybe we've stood outside this door and we don't know, we're just uncertain of what is on the other side of it. And, we're afraid to go through it. Being part of Jesus should be one of the easiest decisions we ever have to make And yet sometimes we sit there or stand there contemplating about, can I really make this step? Can I open this door and enter in on the other side? Can I make this decision to be in Jesus? As the Bible says, if you do not enter through this door, if you're not in Christ, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, we may have this feeling that, you know, yes, we have compassion or, you know, something towards others, but if we don't have the love of God, then, you know, like, we can still be good people and not have God, but being good people does not get us into heaven. It's being in God, being in His love, and being in the salvation that He provides that gets us there. It's entering through that door in which He is. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He was willing to make this sacrifice on our behalf so that we could have salvation. And this God loved us so much that He gave His Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're over here sitting on the other side of the door, or sitting on, before we've even entered the door, the Bible tells us why we shouldn't even be afraid to walk in this door, why we shouldn't be afraid to be in Jesus. He is the door. He is the door to the love of God. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. In other words, you know, the small social talk and stuff like that, you know, like, that doesn't really matter. What matters is expressing the love of God through what the Bible has said in deed and in truth. It's, you know, not just keeping our promises, but also in expressing to others the truth that is in the gospel. Jesus is not the only door through which God communicated His love for us, but He is also the door through which we can reciprocate our love to the Father and also to our fellow Christians and to our fellow human beings. You know, Jesus is also the door to the family of God. Jesus is the door to the family of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. There's a special relationship in being in the love of God, because it helps you to understand the love that you have for the family of God. You know, being in God comes with many blessings. Being in Christ comes with many blessings. And one of them is a wonderful church family, having a church family that is there to support you. I can name many occasions where, you know, especially when you get, probably the greatest feeling is when you first enter through that door, which how you do that is through baptism, of course. But I remember the day that I got baptized, and, like, you know, the whole congregation was there. Maybe not the whole congregation, but most of them were there. It was a Sunday evening, and just, I had made the decision to become a Christian. And, you know, after you come up from the water and, you know, you go back, you get dried off and everything, but then you walk out this door and there's just a line of people to meet you. It's a great welcoming into the family of God, but also into the love of God, which He now will shed upon you the rest of your life, as long as you continue to remain in Him and follow Him in everything that you do. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27 says, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ." Getting into the family of God requires baptism, but also through the faith in which you have as well. But it puts you in this family who will always love you and understands that because they love God, that they love you as well. What a wonderful privilege it is to be a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It is a wonderful privilege to be a child of God and to be a younger brother or sister to Jesus, as Mark chapter 3, verses 35 says, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." He leaves fathers out in that verse because God is his father. God is his heavenly father. In case you want a clarification, it's not because he doesn't like you fathers. It's just he has a heavenly father. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, he is my sister, and he is my mother. We are all in this relationship with Jesus if we've chosen to accept him and chosen to do his will, chosen to be baptized and to continue in our walk of faith with him. Jesus is also the door to the provisions of God. Jesus is the door to the provisions of God. While it is true that those in and out of Christ receive physical blessings from God, only those who are in Christ can receive those spiritual blessings from God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Those that are in and out of Christ receive these physical blessings from God, but those who are in Christ also receive spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Those who are in Christ experience these spiritual blessings. Those who are in Christ have this blessing of, one, the promise of eternal salvation. Two, that the promise of that eternal salvation will take place in heaven. But three, also the promise that while you're here on earth, that he's going to look after you. And right now, I'm so thankful that he is looking after me and that he's looking after many of you in this congregation. Let's look at some of the spiritual blessings that come with being in the family of God, that come with being in the love of God. First one I want to look at is forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." In him we have forgiveness. We have it. Redemption is kind of like, you know, it's basically like a coupon. You know, you buy this much and hey, you get savings, you know, like with this. But with Christ, this coupon is, it doesn't expire until he decides to come back, which we know can be any day. We don't know the expiration date of the coupon, so make sure that you use it before it's too late. have forgiveness with being in Christ. Another spiritual blessing that we have is prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we start to see that model prayer of our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But also in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Prayer is one of those spiritual blessings that God happens to listen to. He listens to us when we pray to Him. Prayer also helps lead us to getting the courage of walking through that door. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. In other words, God is willing to open the door to those who ask about Him, who are wanting to learn about Him, and those who are actively seeking Him. All you have to do is knock, and the door will be opened to you. Another one of the spiritual blessings we have is eternal life. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, it says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Unfortunately, while we do love our families, while we enjoy having a relationship with them, your relationship with God can separate you from your family. Especially if you happen to be a Christian, but the rest of your family isn't. It's really not even talking about a physical separation, but more so this spiritual separation, because you are now made holy in Christ by being a Christian. And you should want very much for your family to be there standing with you on Judgment Day and have you parted to the right hand of God. If you can help your family get to heaven, it's one of the greatest blessings that you will ever be able to give them. Another spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus is peace of mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, we shouldn't have to worry about what's going to happen the next day or the day after that, or even have worries from the days before or even of the day that is current. We shouldn't have to worry about these harsher things that are happening in our country. It shouldn't be something that we fear. We shouldn't fear death. We shouldn't fear anything. The only thing that we should fear is God, in a way that we know that He is in control of our lives. But being in Christ allows us to have this peace of mind that we know that He's going to take care of us. And just one more spiritual blessing that we'll list off is fellowship. Fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light as He is in the light. It's a very narrow road, as we know. It's hard to always stay on it. It's challenging. But we know who the leader is. We know who's leading us down this road. And as long as we don't look off to the sides or even start looking back behind us. As long as we're looking straight ahead and not taking our eye off the prize, which is heaven, which is that relationship with God that we want to continue to have. And there's no reason that we can't get down it together. I want to encourage us to spend more time counting our blessings rather than our problems. Jesus is the door to the provisions of God. And it would be ignorant of us to not partake of these things which are in Christ. Jesus is the door to the presence of God. Jesus is the door to the presence of God. This even goes back all the way to Old Testament times. God must be approached through sacrifice and a priest. Looking back in the book of Leviticus, we'll see the different standards that were required for offerings or for making atonement of our sins with God, the things that the Israelites or the Jews that they had to go through. You know, it was some things were pretty simple, but others were more others were a bit more complicated. But with this, God must be approached through sacrifice and a priest. When people wanted to make atonement for their sins, they would bring a sacrifice, which was usually an ox or a calf or, you know, something of that nature. And the priest would take this sacrifice and burn it and offer it on their behalf. And that's how they would make atonement for their sins. But today, Jesus is both sacrifice and priest on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, "And by that will we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." The body of Jesus Christ served as the sacrificial lamb for our sins, for our transgressions, for the things that, for some sins that we may not even know we commit. But Jesus served as that offering and as that priest. Hebrews 9:11, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, one not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." The next time that Christ comes back, it's going to be to count those who are saved and those who are lost. It's going to be either he's going to count us as going into heaven, or he's going to count us as going into hell. Jesus is the door to the presence of God. And not walking through that door, that bottomless pit of flames, is what stands on this side of the door. It's getting to that other side of the door where you can walk straight through and not have a problem. I want to encourage you, if you're not, to make the decision to walk through that door. And don't take the chance that where you stand right now is in eternal flames. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ." While this, in this context, it does talk about prayer and that Jesus mediates our prayers to the Father. It works just the same with salvation. In order to get to God, we have to get into Jesus. We have to go through Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Sinning is something that we will do eventually at some point in our lives. But the thing is that in Christ is that we can have forgiveness of those sins. Jesus Christ is the righteous one, and only He can forgive us of those things. He's that mediator between us and God. He has the power to behold what we can be, what to be forgiven for, or even if our prayers or anything reaches to God. But the thing is that in Christ we have redemption, we have forgiveness. In Christ we can get through. He is the door to the presence of God. One more thing that I want to discuss this morning, that Jesus is the door to, and Jesus is the door to salvation. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." It's actually the seventh I am statement that Jesus goes on to make in the book of John. He is the way. He is the path in which we need to walk. He is the truth. He's this. He's the Word. He's the truth in which we have. But He's also the life. It's not just the way we walk, but it's how we walk it. Jesus is the life. We can be walking down a path. We can be walking down His path, but not doing anything else to try and help others along the way, to help them to see that the path that they're on, it's too broad. They need to narrow it down. Come over here and start walking this path that leads to righteousness, that leads to heaven, that leads to salvation. John chapter 10, verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." There's only one way down the path of righteousness, and that is through Jesus. It goes back to this idea of a thief and a robber, because it's someone who is trying to take what doesn't belong to them. Someone who is not in Christ does not belong in the sheepfold. It's not necessarily saying that this person is actually, you know, a thief or a robber, but it could be someone who is just falsely misled, who thinks that salvation is possible without baptism or without having the love of God or the love for their fellow men. That's not how it works. Even those who are falsely misled in this context are seen as a thief and a robber because they try to get in another way. But the truth is that they don't belong there. And Jesus knows who does and who does not belong in the sheepfold. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." You can try and put yourself there, but if you don't follow what Jesus has laid out in his truth, then you will not be there. I hope that, and I pray, that those who are not in the sheepfold enter through it honestly and in the way that Christ has laid it out to be. I pray that you'll hear the word and study the word of Jesus, and that you'll believe it, that you'll repent of your sins and confess his name before men and before God, be baptized and become a child of God, and live the life and walk the way in which he has inscribed for us to do. There are many doors in life which seem right, but there's only one that leads to eternal life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps." Don't just take the first thing you hear and run with it. Get into the Word of God and understand the steps in which it takes to get to eternal life, in which it takes to be in Christ. So this morning, you can ask yourself the question, have you passed through that door? Have you stood at it long enough? Have you contemplated about what is actually on the other side of the door? It's not just the majority of the people that are sitting around you. It's not just the family of God. It's not just knowing the love of God or the provisions of God or leading into this or even the presence of God. But it's salvation. And that's what we all hopefully are inspired and willing to go for. Salvation that is in Jesus Christ that leads to all those other things that have been mentioned this morning, and frankly, that's just not even scratching the surface of what all there is in a life that is to be led toward Jesus. This morning, you may not be a Christian, but you have that opportunity to make that right. You have that opportunity to do that this morning. The water is ready, and there are some things that outweigh others, but the one thing that is never outweighed is making sure that you are saved.